The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
When you turn on the evening news, do you see what you want to see or what you need to see? Welcome to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. It seems like more often than not, the good news and people that are making it are buried into a two-minute feature piece near the end of the report. What about giving these people and this kind of news a full hour every week? Now, here's your host, Mariana Cacciatore.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us. We've got a great show today. I think you're going to like it. In a few minutes, I'll be talking to Carolyn Mosley, whose 15-year-old daughter was murdered by her daughter's boyfriend in the hall of her high school. After a period of grief and depression, Carolyn found the strength and inspiration to take action and work to make the world a safer place. We'll be talking about what she did and how she did it. But before we begin the interview, we open with a world of good. My world of good story today comes from my own family. My partner, Greg, was in Santa Monica last weekend visiting his two adult sons. They were walking down Bay Street on their way to the ocean when Greg spotted a man walking ahead of them who seemed to be in distress. He was stumbling and disheveled and appeared downtrodden. The man at one point stopped and leaned against a palm tree, sort of hunched over. And Greg just couldn't help it. He stopped to ask himself if he could help the man, who said his name was Winston. Said he'd been robbed the night before, didn't have a place to spend the night coming up, had no family nearby, was looking for a job but could not get one, and was in a lot of physical pain with fibromyalgia. Greg rubbed Winston's back as he faced the tree, listened for a while, and eventually asked if he could give him some money to help him out. The man was surprised by the gesture and was hesitant to take the $20 being offered. And then a car pulled up, and the driver reached out with another $20 to add to the kitty, and soon a woman who was parking her car gave her small child $10 to give to Winston. And in a matter of 5 minutes, the man went from being penniless to having $50 given to him by three passers-by. Needless to say, he was astonished. This week, I was thinking about this story all week, and then Bread for the Journey's founder, Wayne Muller, sent out a newsletter with an essay on generosity in which he wrote, "Generosity may be the singular quality we possess that has the capacity to transform the world, dot, dot, dot. It can transform danger into opportunity and tragedy into hope." And I thought, you know, Greg's story was a really perfect example of that, and it got me thinking about how to grow this, how to make this spontaneous burst of compassion that for 5 minutes became contagious on a Saturday afternoon on Bay Street in Santa Monica catch fire. What if empathy went viral? My second story comes from our Bread for the Journey chapter in Flagstaff, Arizona. Susan Bean, the chapter's founder, who is a writer by profession, wrote these two paragraphs as part of an annual report about the chapter. I share it today because it'll give you a window into how Bread for the Journey, the nonprofit organization, is different than other philanthropic organizations. Not better, not worse, just different. In fact, we rarely use the word philanthropy much. Generosity is a word we like much better. It feels more accessible. So here are Susan's words. Flagstaff is a city just under 60,000 people, the largest for at least 100 miles in any direction, surrounded by national forests and regarded as a border town to several Native American reservations. It is a regional center for medicine, law, education, the arts, and all levels of government. There are scores of nonprofits and corporate foundations here, as well as federal, state, county, and municipal agencies. All of these grant funds to worthy projects, typically through substantial overhead, rigorous applications, and strict grant cycles. We're not here to do what they do. We confine our efforts to the often quirky but creative projects that other nonprofits and agencies with rigid protocols can't handle. Because we are nimble, not bound to a calendar, list of commitments, or pre-planned programs, when we run across a stuck situation, we can step right in and unstick it. When one of us bumps into a project not met by these others, we have a meeting by phone or in person. We say yes more often than no. We love what we do because through Bread for the Journey, we meet people and visit places we would never encounter any other way. Our own lives are made rich by the color, intensity, and diversity we experience in neighborhoods and rural communities where people follow ways of life very different from our own. With Bread for the Journey, we're always laughing at stories and unlearning things we were sure about as we work alongside people who face tough lives with gentle strength. We're grateful to share their journeys. Unquote. I love this report. I thought she captured well the story, of how Bread for the Journey is unique. As executive director of Bread for the Journey, I'm always imagining how we can improve while maintaining the integrity of who we are and how we work. And one thing that has arisen in my mind again and again is how nice it would be to match some of the money our chapters give away in their local communities, strengthening them by increasing their capacity and impact. So if you're interested in creating a fund like this, enriching your life in this way, and you're willing to give with an open hand in the same way we do, then write to me at bfjradio@gmail.com. We can start a conversation. And so with this, I'd like to introduce our guest, Carolyn Mosley. Carolyn has lived through every parent's nightmare, the violent death of her child. Her youngest daughter, Trella, was stabbed in the hall of her high school by her ex-boyfriend, just 15. Trella's last words were words of forgiveness for her murderer. Today, Carolyn is changing the landscape of teen dating violence in America for the better. Inspired by her child's offering of forgiveness, she advocated for passage of Texas's first Teen Dating Violence Act, which requires every high school to provide dating violence prevention education. She developed a curriculum promoting healthy relationships for youth, in all Texas Youth Commission's halfway homes for juvenile offenders. And through her efforts, February is now designated as Teen Dating Violence Prevention Month. She did all this while working nights as a security officer and earning degrees in juvenile justice and criminal psychology. Each day, Carolyn asks, what can I do to help a child? So good morning, Carolyn.
Good morning.
We're glad to have you on the show this week. Thank you so much for saying yes.
Glad to be.
Great. Perhaps you can just answer we'll start sort of at the beginning. Tell us a little bit about who Trella was. What was she like?
Trella was my star. She was the person that was kind to different ones. She was considerate of their feelings. She was always trying to help individuals, and she would always bring them home if they had a problem. I was considered mother to all.
You liked that, didn't you?
Loved it. That's what I missed. I missed cooking those dinners. I missed bringing all the girls home, and on the weekend the football boys come over and I cooked some big red beans and rice. I miss all of that.
Yeah, you get to really fulfill the role as mother, and must have been sweet to see her growing into the kind of person she was, wondering perhaps who she might have been. I want to continue with this interview, and I'm noticing that it's time for us to take a break. We're going to come back to our listeners. We're going to come back in a few minutes with the rest of the interview. We're just getting started. So if you've got any questions or comments, you can email us at bfjradio@gmail.com. We'll come right back, and we'll continue speaking with Carolyn Mosley. Please stay with us, and thank you.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Tune in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living on VoiceAmerica.com every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time. This program brings you practical and inspiring principles for living a more authentic, engaging, and passionate life. Patricia's guests will give you a formula for connecting, giving, forgiving, and miraculous living. So tune in and call in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Voice America Variety Channel. It's practical, positive solutions for a happy, empowered, and successful life.
There are a number of health and social services available to individuals for low cost or no cost. Now there's a radio program devoted to bringing you the information you need. Tune in to Outreach Today with host Melissa Jenkins-Simon. Our program promotes the benefits and services of CI Incorporated, providing health and social services over a wide spectrum of resources and agencies. We want to help you. Tune in to Outreach Today, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Step into the doorway to conscious choice, greater health, and well-being. Attain the balance that you've been seeking. Tune in and turn on 1111 Talk Radio. Feed the mind. Embrace positively. Release the tension. Step out of fear. Host Simran Singh will help you broaden your mind and open your heart toward a greater understanding of how to take charge of your life. 1111 Talk Radio is here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Seventh Wave Network. 1111 Talk Radio, because shift happens.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com. You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back, and we're talking to Carolyn Mosley, whose 15-year-old daughter was murdered by her daughter's boyfriend in the hall of her high school. After a period of grief and depression, Carolyn found the strength and inspiration to take action and work to make the world a safer place. And we had just asked Carolyn to tell us a little bit about who Trella was, and wondering about what happened on the day she was murdered. Can you tell us that story, Carolyn?
Yes. On the day that she was murdered, I dropped her off normally, like I do every day, at 6:30 that morning. And at 4 that evening, I found out that she was murdered at her school. But eventually, during the court process, because I became a very, very angry person, and during the court process, I found that my daughter forgave him. And what she did in her forgiveness was he stabbed her 6 times. And while he had the knife in the center of her head, and she was looking up to him, he stated that my baby said to him that I forgive you and you do what you do. And even after being stabbed 4 times, she stood up and he stabbed her 2 more and she ran off and she fell into the arms of her teacher. And when she fell into the arms of her teacher let me know that my baby left me and her sister a message. And that message was, tell my mom and my sister I love them, but I have to go. Oh. All the anger that I had, something rose up in me for all the children. I started looking around when I was at the hospital when they told me that my baby died. And I was looking at everyone, and I started looking at the children. And after court, I was like, okay, I can't take my anger out on the people that did this to her. I can't take my anger out on the school that has to this day never called me. I had to channel my anger into something positive. But see, Trella was the kind of person that, like, even though he was stabbing her, she was still in a forgiving mode. And that's what I'm living on right now, the love and the forgiveness that she had.
I want to stay with this point for a minute or so, because I know,
yes,
I have met myself. I've worked in grief for years, and I've met many parents who cannot forgive the person who hurt their child. And often, and sometimes it was like a drunk driver of another car or somebody who just wasn't paying attention on the road and was the cause of an accident that killed their child. It wasn't so intentional as somebody stabbing her. And I wonder, what was it in you that helped you make that decision? Do you know?
I'm a mother. I'm a mother. And what I mean, but I'm not saying, no, you know, other people are not mothers, but I'm the type of mother that I've always placed myself in other mothers' positions. And at that time, I placed myself in his mother's position. If my daughter was killed, what would I do right now?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I wouldn't want you to put my son in prison for life. I wouldn't want you to kill my daughter. I wouldn't want, you know, I look
right
at it as though we lost 2 children that day.
Right.
We didn't just lose Trella. The young man that I knew at first was a good young man. But I didn't know the hidden agenda in his home. I didn't know the issues that he was having at home.
Hmm.
And all I can be is who I am. I'm a mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I take care of children.
Mm-hmm.
And that, right, in my mind, at that time, that was another child in me.
Right. So one of the things I heard you say is that you have kind of a capacity for being able to step into somebody else's shoes.
Which, I do.
Just like my opening subject, I think that's really part of what makes empathy come alive, that
yes,
this capacity to see what it feels like to be in somebody else's skin.
But I feel like it's a combination of empathy, consideration, and concern,
mm-hmm,
and having respect of person and doing unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the combination in my life. Live with. If something happens to me, I wonder, well, what would it be if it happened to somebody else?
Right.
Or would I do you like that if you were me?
Right.
You know, if you have a child, and I know you love your children, okay? I know you love your children. And if your child were to murder my child, what would you want to happen to your son or daughter? Would you want them dead?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you want them to get some help?
Right. Right.
I would want my child to get some help. I still love my baby. My baby screwed up royally.
Mm-hmm.
But I need my baby to get some help.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I look at life in general. And that's how I taught my children. And that's why Trella was the kind of person that she was.
Right. Right. So have you been in contact with him, the young man?
I'm preparing for a visit. I would like to see him and see how he's doing. I became a correctional officer just so that I could see how children are being treated in the prison system. And it's not good. And that's why I started going to school for psychology and social and criminal justice.
So let's go to that very first thing that we talked about that you did, this advocated for Texas's first Teen Dating Violence Act. So that high schools provide dating violence prevention education. I have one other question. Before that, this is education that's happening in the schools, and I'm wondering about the particular school that your daughter went to. Did you ever work things out with them about why it was you didn't get a call that day? And were you able to work things out with them?
No, ma'am. What they have done is they have provided an apology to the community, but I've never received a personal phone call indicating that my daughter was laying on the floor dead, nor did I receive a phone call stating that she had been sent to Breckenridge. I actually received my phone calls from the children that knew her.
Mm. I am so sorry about
that. But I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that. And the reason why I'm okay with that is because if I hold that anger in, my life is messed up.
Right.
I have to move forward for my daughter's sake.
Right. And it's a very wise thing to do. It's good for you. It's good for the community. It's good for everybody. And I commend you as well for being able to do it. I really do. So tell us a little bit about this Texas Youth Commission. The Teen Dating Violence Act. How did you get involved, and what is this curriculum throughout the state of Texas? Tell us a little bit about it.
The curriculum that I've built is called Preventing Teen Dating Violence and Building Healthy Relationships. It has been accepted by the Texas School Safety Center to be taught across the schools of Texas, and hopefully I'm hoping that it becomes worldwide. What it does is it teaches the children respect the self first. Because if you respect self first, that cuts out sex, that cuts out a lot of things that you have to think about, that cuts out things, I respect me so I don't want to do that, I respect me so I'm not going to let you hurt me.
Right.
It teaches them different types of abuse. Most people don't know the different types of abuse, which is one major one, is controlling. See, controlling slips in. You know, if he tells you or she tells you, I don't want you to wear lipstick anymore, you need to figure out why they don't want you to wear lipstick anymore. They met you with lipstick. So is that leading to something else? And this is the small things that is taught in the curriculum, plus the larger things, which is the actual abuse, where you're being physically and mentally abused.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes with a CD, it comes with the public service announcement, and it also comes with me telling Trella's story on Geraldo and 2020.
Say that last thing again. I didn't understand it.
It comes with me telling Trella's story, the full story of what happened that morning until that night during her court services where he was sentenced. It comes with the CDs. It's on a CD.
Right. Yeah, story
yeah,
has
Geraldo
a way of
Geraldo show driving. And the 2020 show, an E-Network show.
Uh-huh. Story has a way of driving home a message. Just, I don't know, when we tell stories, it goes straight to the heart, and when it's a true story, kids stop. I mean, all of us do, children, adults, you know, elders. We stop and we listen in a way that's different. And
yeah.
Especially a story, you know, a tragic story such as this with an incredible outcome, you know, in terms of the work that you're doing.
Yes, ma'am.
In the world. So then from there you went to this creating this curriculum that's now approved for use in the Texas Youth Commission's Halfway Homes for Juvenile Offenders. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, the reason why I have done that is because I became a correction officer and I worked in the prison system for a year in solitary, in the mandatory division, and I discovered that they're only learning how to be a better criminal when they get out.
Right.
You know, they're not talking to someone in regards to, well, what happens if I don't do this? How can I not do this? What can help me? So, therefore, that's where the curriculum came in my mind to be built, to first start with the Texas Youth Commission. And we have 9 halfway houses across Texas, and it's being taught in the 9 halfway houses. And it's to help them because, see, this is another way for me to keep my promise to Trella. Trella asked me to get him some help.
Right.
And I may not get him direct help, but at least I'm helping others.
Was he tried as an adult?
No, ma'am. I asked him not to.
Mm-hmm.
He was a child at the time of the murders. Now, we've also had the law change that if something like that happened again, God forbid, that the person will be tried as an adult. But I didn't want him to use Trella to change laws because then I would feel like, okay, I gave you the okay to try him as an adult and then y'all kill him because that's what y'all wanted to do.
Right.
I wasn't going to be, I'm not going to have that on my hands.
Right. And as we know, there are quite a few, what, something like 234
yes, ma'am.
Yeah, executions in prison.
In the state of Texas, here, yes, ma'am.
In the state of Texas.
So my thing is, I'm not going to be responsible for taking anyone's life. I didn't give it, I can't take it, and I don't want to be a part of anything that has to do with that. So I asked him, try him as a child, and in the meantime, we'll get laws changed to where if this happened again, God forbid, you guys can do what you need to do.
Right.
But right now, we don't have that law in place, so therefore, you do what the law says.
Right. Do you train people to, you know, this curriculum that you wrote that's being used in the Texas juvenile centers? Do you go in and train people who are going to train the program, or do you meet with them at all and go over this, or is it all just done once you write the curriculum, then they're off and running with it?
No, we train them. The foundation that I've started in Charlotte's name, which is the Trella One Mosley Foundation, we do the training. We train the facilitators so that they can be instructed to train the students. We have an instructor's guide, and we have a student's guide.
I wanted to mention to our listeners that Carolyn just mentioned the foundation, the Trella Luon Mosley Foundation. The link for that is on the Voice America website with the description of her show. And if you want to know more about the foundation or make a contribution, you can just go to that link and contact them directly. We're about to take a break here, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more with Carolyn. And if you have any questions for Carolyn Mosley, please send them to us at bfjradio@gmail.com. We'll be back in a few moments.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Who or what fills you up? How do you talk to yourself about yourself? Do you feel like your life isn't where you want it to be? That you are underappreciated or that your relationships leave you wanting? Tune in every week as Dr. Debbie gives you something to think about, a reality check that will allow you to take charge of what goes on in your life. Your life is happening now. Don't waste another minute. Tune in Mondays at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel and listen to It's About You with Dr. Debbie. Explore the power and beauty in yourself and in others. Tune in to The Stacey Stern Show, Enriching You. Every week, Stacey Stern will connect you with men and women who are living and working from a place of passion. Stacey's guests include successful authors, filmmakers, actors, experts, and leaders. You'll hear what inspires each of them, and you'll be turned on to great films, books, and new media. Tune in to The Stacey Stern Show, Enriching You, Tuesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back, and we're here talking to Carolyn Mosley, whose 15-year-old daughter was murdered in her daughter's high school by her boyfriend. And as I said earlier, after a period of grief and depression, Carolyn found the strength and inspiration to take action and work to make the world a safer place. And I wanted to ask you, Carolyn, what do you feel parents can do to help their children not fall into situations, bad situations? Can you talk a little bit about what you're doing today?
Yes, what a parent or guardian, because they can be in a foster home too, what they can do to assist a child that may be or even notice some things that the child may be going through would be, if the child is starting to be withdrawn, if the child's attitude is beginning to be kind of outrageous, meaning talking back, or even just shutting down, their type of clothing, have they changed their clothing, have they stopped wearing their makeup, have the boys stopped grooming themselves, are they walking with their shoulders down, are they still walking standing tall? It's the small thing that a parent really needs to look at, and the thing that you can do about it is just talk to your child. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be scared. Don't be nervous. Just talk to your child and let your child know, I'm here for you. Trella came home and said, Mama, he don't want me to wear a spaghetti strap shirt. I said, excuse me? I said, you finna break up with him because he don't want you to wear a spaghetti strap shirt? Yes, ma'am. I was like, well, okay, well, what's your reason? She said, Mama, you taught me. That's a part of controlling. See, the small things is what counts. And we actually broke up with him. But the thing about it is when she broke up with him, the other parent didn't do their part by keeping him away from her. Because it happened at school. The boy was at home all night on a computer trying to figure out how to kill somebody. But his father brought him to school that day and asked the principal, be careful, watch my son because he's been acting strange at night. My daughter would not have been killed, I feel, not that way, if the parent would have been there for that child. Mm. So basically what I feel a parent should do is first, be there for your child. Look at your child. Look in their eyes. See if they're red. Why are your eyes so red? Small things. I feel that's what we should do for our children.
Right. I think being present and paying attention as much as we possibly can to where they are. I mean, should he have been kept home if he was up all night that night and the parent knew about it? Who knows? You know, you can't go back and change the clock, and who knows what would have happened. But
true.
But I remember being a child and the times when I was, you know, given attention. How satisfying that was to me. And the times when, you know, everybody's busy. There are times when I wasn't given attention and how alone or lonely and lost I felt, you know.
Right.
I think we do those things. I think young people do those things as a cry for help in a certain way. And we want to know that the people who are close to us love us. We want to know that they care. We want to know that they're willing to stop what they're doing. And
yeah, because when we're at work, we look to be appreciated at work. That should be done at home.
Right.
And that's where I'm going to bring up my definition of love. Okay, my definition of love at home and my surrounding area, I break the four-letter word down. It's L-O-V-E. Learning our value every day. When we learn who we are, we learn who the next person is by sharing that love with them. People ask me what my worth is. How much you feel that you're worth? I'm worth love.
Mm-hmm.
That's the greatest value of all.
It sure is.
So you can't pass me. I got mine.
And there are lots of ways to learn our value every day. We value ourselves and others who are close to us, say things out loud that help us to see ourselves, through their eyes. And then through that, we learn to value ourselves.
Communication.
Oh, right. Communication is such a big part of that. There should be a C in the word love, right? So what does the O stand for?
Learning our. Learning is L, learning, O, our.
Oh, I see. Learning our value every day. Learning our value every day. I was thinking L was that was the first one. The whole thing, love is all about learning our value every day.
That's what it
really
is.
Really getting it every
it's
day.
It's looking in the mirror. Like I taught my children, I was just telling the young lady today, I look in the mirror every day and I feed myself breakfast. I call it self-breakfast. Girl, you look good. Honey, you smell good. You pretty. You know, you're going to do some things today. Get out there and get what your goals are set for. I mean, I preach myself every day. That's my self-breakfast.
That's really beautiful. That's really beautiful. So you're doing public speaking around. Tell me a little bit about that.
What I do is I'm considered the Texan State Action Leader, appointed by Liz Claiborne. Mm-hmm. And what I do is I go out and I just do speaking engagements in regards to teen-dating violence prevention and awareness. And I'm also, for MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, I'm the national speaker for them in regards to abuse.
Because they know you're working with young people and you're making an impact with that audience.
Yes, ma'am.
In a sense that, how has this, tell me a little bit about how this experience has perhaps impacted your children and your grandchildren. I know you've become a more powerful person and a more vocal person since this happened. Tell me a little bit about how it's touched your family, Carolyn.
Well, I have one daughter left, and she's happy but sad because I do so much. She feels that I'm killing myself because I get myself so tired at times. But she do appreciate when she hear the success stories of young people that's been abused and they've gotten out of those abusive relationships and they now know that love don't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
My grandbabies, my 5-year-old normally goes with me during a lot of my speaking engagements, and she now gets up at the end and say, everybody stand and just hug each other. Because she loves to love. So basically, it's a lesson for my grandbabies to learn and to understand before they get too old. They'll know some of the signs at an early stage. And my oldest daughter understands and knows that the type of abuse she don't want to be involved in. Right. That if it was left up to her, she wanted them to try it as an adult. But see, she's still my baby.
Right.
And one of these days, she's going to understand the reason why I did that. Hopefully nothing happened bad. But one day, she's going to understand why Mama took the mother's stand and did what she did.
Right.
But overall, the process of them learning good is very helpful. She's proud of me going to school. I have a 3.68 average on both my majors, and that's something that I never thought I would do, was go back to school.
We'll
but
talk
I'm also
a little bit about
showing
that.
My grandson that this is a process that has to be done to better yourself. So he actually monitors my grades, and I monitor his.
That's
so, I made it 87 the other day on a test, and he was like, Gammy, you can do better. So it's a learning process for us all.
We are going to take one more break, and we'll be back in a few minutes and continue talking with Carolyn Mosley. If you've got any questions for Carolyn, please send them to bfjradio@gmail.com. Thank you.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You were born a visionary.
How do you get closer to your personal vision? Tune in to Visionary Radio with Giselle. Our program is all about evidence-based positive change. Giselle and her guests will bring you stories of positive visions achieved, hope and renewal, designed to inspire you in ways that matter in your life, in ways that last and bring you closer to who and where you want to be. This program is for and about real people, and we want you to be a part of it too. Tune in to Visionary Radio with Giselle every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. Drawing on resources from wellness communities throughout America and abroad, the show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Wellness Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain inspired really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey. Ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds. With your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Hello, we're back and we're talking to Carolyn Mosley. Carolyn, you have, in as we get through the holidays and into January, February, you have a gala that's coming up through the foundation. Tell me a little bit about it.
Yes, it's called Love Trello Gala, and we have it, this is our second one, and it's on February the 25th, and I would love to have some, you know, some of the listening audience come and support us on that.
And this is held in Austin, Texas, correct?
Yes, in Austin, Texas, and it's going to be at Fogo de Chao on 3rd Street. It's a Brazilian restaurant, all you can eat, and I mean it's all you can eat. And the reason why we celebrate in February is because the month of February, we did have a week for Teen Dating Violence Prevention and Awareness Week. And now President Obama has proclamated it for the nation for it to be a month. So the whole month of February is Teen Dating Violence Prevention and Awareness Month. So that's something that we're working on. And our gala is our annual fundraiser that we have. And I would love to hear have some listeners come to it. And it's here in Austin.
So that's quite an achievement when I hear about February previously being just something in Texas, Teen Dating Violence Prevention Month. And now it's President Obama has announced it as a national thing. How did that happen, and how did you hear about it?
Well, how did it happen? We started it here in Texas. Our Governor Perry signed the bill, which was a House bill that he signed, and it gave us a week. And we just kept pushing, and then our 10 states adopted it. And after those 10 states adopted it, it was found in Washington. President Obama just made it national.
That is very exciting. How did you learn? I mean, there are lots of people who say they want to do something. They want to be, but there was just one person, and how did they make a difference? How is it that you just found your way into these programs, were able to, you know, create these curriculums and create, you know, now what is a national program? Tell us about that. Where do you begin?
I began working with Texas State Representative Donna Dukes and Elliot Nastash and Senator Hinojosa. Donna just gave me favors with people, and in those favors, things are happening, and the curriculum was something that I just went to sleep one night, woke up, said I'm going to build a curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
So, and my education has a lot to do with that, with me going back to school working on a double major.
So tell me a little bit about that. What inspired you, and what is the double major?
What inspired me to go back to school was I know how to be a mother. And I do have education, but I have a lot of street knowledge. What I wanted to have was verbiage. I wanted to know how to talk. I wanted to know how to have a better understanding and to learn how to look at a child and check out their behavior. And the only way that I could do that was to go back to school and be educated myself. See, I'm the kind of person, I'm a hands-on. I have to do it for myself before I can do it for someone else.
Mm-hmm, right. And so you made a decision that you wanted to go back to school, and what was the choice you made? What are the dual degrees?
The dual degrees are psychology and social and criminal justice.
And why the two together?
They are coupled together because it's the Behavior Act, understanding the criminal side of it.
What do you think you want to do when you finish school? What do you want to do?
Well, what I would like to do is be a psychologist for the criminals, for inmates and offenders. And then I also want to be able to assist the children in need that's going through an abusive behavior, abusive relationship. So it's a dual two.
Your work or your dream is just to work on the emotional and this, to help change behaviors, to get at what
yes, ma'am.
The heart of the issue is.
Yes.
And mostly with people that have already offended in some way, so that you're catching them perhaps before it gets worse, or
I'm hoping that I can catch them before it happens or before it gets worse, but if I have to deal with some of those that are already incarcerated, because I understand and I know now that the incarcerated ones are not getting the assistance that they need before they get out. And it's a lot of them I wouldn't want to get out, I'm going to be honest. Because if they're not getting some kind of assistance, why let them out? They're going to come out worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's,
a lot of us
like I said,
that's
a twofold.
There are a lot of us who believe that way, and yet our criminal justice system is still so incredibly punitive. And
yes.
Boy, it would be lovely to have someone on the inside of that helping to make a change.
And that's one of my goals. I'm not done yet. I still have a lot to do. I just need help doing it.
Right, you do. Well, I give you all the luck and blessings in the world from all of us that are listening and from me as well. Yeah, I remember a film. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a documentary film about a meditation program that had happened. I think it was in India. It was a foreign film about a meditation program where they took everybody in prison, and I believe it was a 30-day meditation. It wasn't all day, every day, but all of the inmates learned the art of meditation. And after, there was a marked difference in behavior from before they started to the time they finished. And this sort of creating a kind of opportunity to recognize their inner life, their inner voice, and to still that busy mind. Do you talk at all about meditation as part of your work at all? Have you had any experience with that?
No, I don't necessarily talk about meditation, but I talk to people and tell them just sit down and hear yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, search yourself, search your own thoughts. Because
right.
See, you are the author of your decisions, and you are the responsible person for your decisions.
Right.
So therefore, you need to monitor your decisions.
Yeah, I think there are lots of ways to come at a kind of the development of self-awareness. I have another friend who does workshops in the prison through a program, trying to remember the name of it. I can't at the moment. But anyway, beautiful. AVP. AVP is the initial. Violence prevention is the VP. I can't remember what the A is. But it's she goes into the prison systems and does weekend workshops, and it's a beautiful opportunity for inmates to begin to stop, to just simply stop and think about what they're doing, what they've been doing, how they've led their life, and how they want to lead their life. And it makes sense to me that that's the kind of thing we're doing in prisons.
Yes.
Carolyn, I want to thank you so much for being a guest today on the show, and I want to tell our listeners as well a little bit about next week's show.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. It was lovely. It was really lovely. So our next Saturday we will not be airing. Voice America Channel is moving their offices, and so on the following week, November 19th, we'll be interviewing a man named Chad Hale. As a young minister, Chad followed his heart to Atlanta's financially destitute South Summerhill neighborhood in 1991 with a desire to create a place of hope, dignity, and empowerment in the midst of poverty and racial division. Chad co-founded the Georgia Avenue Community Ministry. His idea was great. His idea was to help people in need in such a way as to preserve dignity, create cooperation, build community, and honor the gifts and talents of the people they are serving. So everybody who is a beneficiary of the food plays a role in the food co-op. There are 50 families, there are now 5 co-ops, and there are 50 families in each one, and those families help to get the food there, they get it off the truck, they get it into the building, they get it sorted, and they get it distributed. So it's a successful project that's drawing nationwide attention, and they're now training others to form co-ops and to help people help themselves. It's a great idea, and Chad's a wonderful man. I think you'll enjoy the interview a lot. And finally, if you'd like to support the work of Bread for the Journey, we hope you'll go to our website at breadforthejourney.org. If everyone pitches in a little bit, we can change the world. Thank you. May all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings be free. We'll see you next week.
We hope our program inspired you this week. Please join Mariana Cacciatore for another edition of Bread for the Journey next Saturday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.